You may be expecting a Christmas message from me, and not essentially not so this morning. Primarily because we have been having a lot of thoughts, readings, prayers, songs, decorations, home, gifts, families, friends, you name them. This week has been very busy for many of you. And it will probably continue another day or two. So I will not want to overload that with the Christmas message. Even this morning, we had several thoughts on that. So I am going to be looking forward, not backward 2,000 years ago, which is a good thing that was happened when the Lord came. I'm going to put my efforts into looking into forward. 2 weeks ago, when Brother Thomas Rajan spoke here, he touched upon a subject called time and eternity. So my theme of my subject, or the title of my message this morning, is what time is it? We're going to look at that very briefly going forward. There's a lot of things to be looked at on an eschatological standpoint, but I won't go that far this morning. But we'll look at very briefly what is ahead of us. Some of us who are older and grew up in other parts of the world had the opportunity by great men of God to teach the eschatological part of the future of each believer and the Christian church. And that may not be true many even in our own midst. The understanding of the future is very limited, or at least it is not given very serious thought about it. So I won't take any time to go very detailed on the eschatology, but we will look very briefly on that. And when out of that brief items to come forward in the next going forward as Christians, we'll dwell on one particular subject of that. Within the last 2 to 3 months, several of our families here, their mothers or people who are very close to their heart were called home. Some back home, some here, right here in Dallas area. So we always hear the message in those at that time. It always closes with a song, a message, and a prayer of an eternal hope that we will see them very soon. So what does that mean when we see them very soon? So I think it is appropriate to look at that briefly to encourage them, as well as for us to be encouraged to build our faith and hope of the second coming of Christ. We often talk about time and eternity. What does that mean? How do we really understand time and eternity? We also heard from our brother last time when he spoke that God's timing is different than ours. We think God dwells and acts upon our day, seven days or whatever timing that we count on. But God's timing is very different. We know the Lord Jesus came according to, as we were reminded even today, that the Lord Jesus came into this world according to God's timing, according to God's plan, according to God's place, and everything that has happened was no surprise to God, the God. It was probably a surprise to many people at that time, even today. But everything has happened according to God's plan. That is very true in our life also. We can make a direct application in our spiritual walk. Everything happens according to God's plan. Many of us have wondered, where are we in God's plan in relation to eternity? We talk about eternity, but where are we in that eternity count of God's plan? There is enough revelation of God's word that we can understand at least to some extent. It may not be fully understandable to us because God's plan is not fully understandable to human beings because our understanding is limited. But a brief look at how does the future events look like in the scripture. So, Billy, if you could pull up that file, mine is not working. I am not pulling that here. So if you could help me with that. As far as the eschatology is concerned, our younger generation and some of the older ones, as I said, need to understand what is next. What are we waiting for? As a believer, we go to church Sunday morning or whenever it is possible for you to go. Go home and we'll carry on with your life and we live as if there is nothing ahead of us. I want everyone to take it very seriously as we go through these few moments together. How do we understand eternity? This is how I understood it. So I'm going to do, it is not a scientific explanation, but to give you at least some understanding. Eternity you can compare to a perfect circle. It doesn't have any beginning or ending. You can go in circle all your life, you will never reach anywhere. In the sense, there is no end to it. So that is how I understood eternity is a full circle. Then we talk about the time. How does that happen? The next slide, if you can look. Move forward one slide, please. I don't know if you can see it clearly here. God in his eternal wisdom, in that full circle of eternity, time started clicking one day. I believe it is close to the creation. Is it the first day of creation? I don't know. But if it's close to creation, the time started clicking. You can see the small circle there. And time began to keep going. And I put the earth there on the top, very close to eternity, because I believe we are very close to eternity again. We also sometimes talk about the past eternity and the future eternity. It almost sounded like two things. No. The eternity is one piece in a full circle with no beginning or the ending. At some point in the God's eternal wisdom, time started clicking. Time. Seconds, hours and days and months and years. And sometime in the near future, my next slide will explain that. Sometime in the near future, the time will merge back into eternity and we will be no more time. We will not be under time anymore. For this is talking for believers at this moment. But for unbelievers, as we know, they also live eternally, but in a different place. Christians, believers, you and me, will merge back into eternity as we read and study through the book of Revelation. Very clearly it says. So maybe someday we'll take a detailed study on eschatology. Once again, we did that maybe 5 years ago here. But we will merge. The time will disappear. We will merge back into eternity. Now, if you go to the next slide, I'm going to go quickly here because I need to pick up one theme out of that and then look at a few things for our spiritual understanding. Brief order of coming events. The next slide is going to show you the brief order of the coming events that, as we know from the scripture, mostly from the book of Revelation. Next slide, please. And you can see the very next thing right now, today, if God's calendar, very next thing to happen is the rapture of the church. We are now living in Acts chapter 2, when the church began, we are living in the church age. And we, in that is the age we are living. And it can end at any time, as we know, if the Lord chooses to come tonight or next week or next year, whenever the Lord Jesus Christ decides to return to the earth, the rapture will take place. And that will end the age of the church. Don't forget, when you talk about the second coming of Christ, there are two phases. First phase, the Lord will come into the midair. He will not come to the earth, and believers will be caught up to the air. So shall we be with the Lord forever. That is the first part or first phase of his second coming. The second phase and the part of his coming is he will come back to the earth along with the saints, you and me. We will come together with the Lord to this earth, establish a peaceful reign on this earth for the purpose for which the whole creation was started at the beginning. Have a very peaceful, loving life here on this earth for 1,000 years. When that one is finished, we will enter into the new heaven and a new earth, merge back into the eternity. So if you remember that picture I had on the time, the earth is very close to eternity, because I believe, the reason I put it there is, I believe there is, we are very close. If it happens today, it may 1,007 years, the time will end and we will merge into eternity. So this is the very brief things to happen in the next history or the time calendar of God's plan. So in that plan, we have the one that is the second one, the rapture of the church, which is the very next thing to happen. So I will briefly dwell on that for the next remaining time of that we have. The rapture takes place. There's a picture that shows believers who are living and who are dead will be changed, and we will be caught up into the air. One day, one man who wanted to make fun of a preacher who talked about second coming, and he came to the preacher and asked, how does this happen? The earth is round. If the believer is going up, one on this side will go that way, the other one on this side will go this way. That was his explanation, trying to put the preacher into question. And he said, please go bring a ball. He went and got a ball. Give me some warm hot water. He bought the hot water. He put that ball into the hot water and he lifted it up and asked this man, where does the steam go? Is the steam going this way and or direction? No. The steam all came together and went up. So the man's question was answered. We can come up with all kinds of questions about the scriptural the points that we study. So the word rapture can be explained in very simple way. Some of you who are born and brought up in this Western world, you probably have not seen. When I grew up in my village back home, and some of you who are here, you can probably relate to what I am going to say. My mother used to raise chicken in our home. So a chicken will hatch, maybe sometimes 10 baby chickens. I think that's the word used. But the vulture is always looking to get the chicken. The vulture will come. Sometimes I have seen standing outside the vulture coming, will make noise, chase him away, but he won't go. He will come very slowly down, match one of the chicken and walk, fly away. And you can see the poor chicken hanging down on his two legs. That is the very meaning of the rapture. That is almost what will happen. The Lord will come. Nobody will know. The moment, the twinkling of an eye. Try to twinkle your eye one time. You are done. The Lord comes. Try to transform the body of Christ. They are already up in the air in the twinkling of an eye. It's not going to take hours and weeks and minutes as we think. I worked in a place that we divide the time into multiple, from seconds to now mini seconds to nanosecond, and they divided it again, and that is the time that he's talking about, the rapture, the taking away, the carrying off of the body of Christ, who is earth on this earth now for the last 2,000 years, will happen in the twinkling of an eye. That is the explanation of the word rapture. I don't know if the word rapture itself may not be in the scripture, but that is the meaning of it. Now, there are three major passages that we can find in the New Testament about the rapture. We will look at that for the remaining of the time. During this period of time, many you may have heard messages on this, why I want to refresh our thought and understand all of you, especially the little ones and the younger ones who are in our midst. They need to have a good understanding of what that means. What will it happen when that happens? Although it happens in the twinkling of an eye, there are more things happening within that time. in this for specific passages are one of them are given to us by the Lord Jesus himself in John, book of John, and the other two are given to us by Apostle Paul himself. Now, just on a side thought, the song that we sing, Joy to the World, somebody, one servant of God said, if you look carefully, that song is meant for the second coming of Christ, because it says he rules the world with peace and... No, it's not happening now. I think the songwriter was picturing the future coming of Christ when the peace on earth will come. And all those words, if you look closely, you can see it's very, very possible that the songwriter had in mind was the second coming of Christ, not the first coming. But don't stop singing. Keep singing. That's not my point. The point is, people have been thinking of his coming, including the songwriters, throughout the ages. Let's look at the first passage together. Well, one thing that I have to say before as we go into the first passage in John chapter... The laptop is behaving, not behaving. Okay, John chapter 14. But before the rapture, nobody knows, nobody knows the time and the date when the Lord will return. Don't let anybody fool you, giving you times. There are people who will look, get all these newspaper cuttings and put together things and say, oh, this is the day the Lord is coming. No, don't believe them. Because the Lord himself said, no one knows the day or the hour that the Lord Jesus is coming. Neither the Son nor the angels, nor but only God the Father knows. It may be difficult for you to understand, not even the Son knows when he is coming. When the time comes, the Father will say, go, then the Son will go. That is how I understand this. He says, even the Son doesn't know the time. So don't get fooled by people who say when the Lord is coming. Now let's go to the first passage the Lord Jesus said in John chapter 14, verse 1 to 3. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. You can turn to your Bible. I don't have it. Oh yeah, I do have it. Sorry. Thank you. Thank you, brothers. I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. Listen carefully to the words that are used. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. You have to look at these passages when you read the scriptures very closely, the words that are used, the tense, is it past, future, or a present tense that is used? So when you look at it, the very purpose of the Lord telling us this, I want you to listen carefully. The reason the Lord is saying that I am going to prepare a place, I'm come back again and take you. What is the purpose? Is it as something that the Lord wants the information to be filled in our brain to know that he is coming back? But I want to emphasize, let not your heart be troubled. The very reason for giving out that I'm coming back is that your heart may not be troubled. I can see, including myself, many of us at various times, troubled heart is common among men, believers and unbelievers. At any time of the day, any time of the week, hearts full of troubles, thoughts come to our heart. The Lord is asking us this morning, don't get troubled in your heart, because the following is going to happen. Don't get troubled in your heart. If you forget everything I said this morning, because the Lord is coming, let the trouble go away. Think of him. Think of the future. Think of him coming in all his glory, taking his people with him, you being part of it, being taken away. So don't be troubled. As humans, it is possible. Sometimes we do go through that thoughts. Just a few observations from this passage before we go to the next one. The primary reason for the Lord to give this information is that we should not live our life all day long, all week long, with a troubled heart. Our life should be a total dependence on God, believing Him, because the Lord said, believe in me and believe also in God. If you don't believe the Lord, if you don't believe God the Father, your troubles will have no answer. The Lord said, our life should be a total dependence by believing in Him and also remembering and believing our Savior. Now he says, believe that there is, present tense, there is a Father's house, referring to heaven. Heaven is real. Hell is equally real. If any of you are hearing me, young or old, if you do not know the Savior, I have no fear of telling you, if you don't know the Savior, you will end up in hell. And hell is also eternal, meaning no ending. So, the Lord said, in my Father's house. And then He said, there are many mansions. Again, He's not saying there will be. There are mansions in heaven. It was already there 2,000 years ago when the Lord said it. Sometimes we have a wrong understanding. If you put $10 in the offering, the Lord will take that money and use it for building some mansion for you upstairs. It is not true. The mansions are already there. It is not built according to what you do. It is built according to God's glory and His plan in eternity, and nothing can change it. And that house and the mansion remains the same. Your faithfulness and life has nothing to do with it, but that has something to do with it, which I don't know if I have time to touch it, but the Lord is not building mansion based on your life and your giving or your service. Mansions are already there. That's how I read my Bible. There are many mansions. If that's the case, what's the Lord doing now? He said, I'm not building mansions. He simply is preparing them, getting it ready for you. What does that mean, getting it ready? I have no clue. I will be guessing if I give you an answer. The Lord, you have to trust Him. You have to believe Him. He said, believe in me. I am going to go. I am going to prepare a place. What that preparation means, you will have to find out when He comes. The biggest surprise for believers is when you get to heaven, it will be a million times far beyond what your little puny little brain could understand or even think about. It will be the biggest surprise of your entire life when we get to heaven. He is simply preparing the mansion that is already there. But the Lord gave it double assurance. Sometimes the scripture has a double assurance, verily, verily, or sometimes the verses are repeated. That is double assurance. The Lord gave a double assurance here also. If it were not so, or in other words, I'm not lying. That's what the Lord is saying. I'm putting it in my words. If it were not so, I would have told you. He gives the double assurance that there are mansions in heaven and it belongs to you, and I'm just simply going there to get things ready. I will come again. And why is He coming? I will come again and receive you to myself. Beloved brothers and sisters, the Lord is not sending some bunch of angels to come and take us. The Lord is coming Himself. He's coming. That gives me a goosebumps when I think. Lord could have sat there and commanded the angels to go bring my church. But He said, I am coming myself. He comes to the midair and take His church home. I will come again and receive you to myself. He is coming in person. Yes, He is coming with the angels. They will only accompany Him to do what the Lord asked them to do. Then why is He coming? He is coming to receive you individually and collectively as the church of God. Then what is He going to take? Yes, I'm going to receive you. So what is next? Where is He going? Where are we going to go? Where he is, he's taking you there. Where is he now? He is at the right hand of God, the Father in heaven. You and I are going to go right where he is. If the Lord Jesus ended up in somewhere else, I'm just saying that on an argumentative mindset. I will be happy where Jesus is, wherever he is. But we know he is in heaven. He himself, where he is, you may be also. Brothers and sisters, this is the next step. As a Christian, in your life and my life, going to happen. Do we know the time? No, I wish I knew. Nobody knows. Quickly going on to the second passage, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 50 to 57. You probably heard this recent messages in different locations. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I tell you a mystery. What does the word mystery mean? Mystery doesn't mean that something unknown. Mystery means something known but not revealed. At this point of time, when Paul is writing, what he is about to say was known to God. There is no surprise to him. It was already in eternity planned, but it was never revealed to human being. Paul is saying, now I am going to reveal it to you. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep. Meaning, no believer at the living at the time or dead prior to that will sleep. In the Bible, as we know, sleep simply refers to death. Christians don't die per se. We will go to sleep. The body will be in the ground. We will be still alive with the Lord. So he said, we all will not sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment. Again, the twinkling of an eye, we will change. We are not going to go with this body. Don't worry. Your glasses, your lack of hearing, your whatever your body is going through now, lack of memory that I am getting it, getting old, gray hair, limping, can't walk, back pain, you know, under the weather, nothing of that sort coming when we are with him. Everything going to change. A new body. I believe you may look the same, but it won't be the same. How do I know? I know how you may look the same. Remember, Abraham was in the lap and the Lazarus was here. Or maybe it's the other way. The other way, Lazarus was up there and Abraham was down here. He looked up and recognized Abraham. How did he know? I think there was some understanding to Lazarus about Abraham. And when he saw him, recognized him. I believe we will recognize each other in heaven. There are people who may be teaching the other way. We will not recognize. We will be just like angels. Nobody knows who is now. That is not what I think my scripture says. We will recognize each other. But in a glorious, changed, eternally changed body in heaven, it will not deteriorate. In the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound and the dead will rise, be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible has put on incorruption, and this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your sting? O Hades, where is your victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of the sin is its law. But thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Don't you think about it in your life sometimes? Oh, I wish this body has changed. I wish this problem has not come. I wish I have not committed this sin. The sin is at my doorstep all the time. Don't you wish that this has just gone away? I wish the Lord has changed the whole thing the day I was saved. But that is not God's plan. All that will change. Sin will disappear. Death will disappear in its meaning. Your body will change. Get a new body for you and me. There is another scripture that says, That gives me goosebumps when I see, read that passage. We will be almost, thereby I am using the word almost, similar to our Lord Jesus Christ, similar to the body of Christ. The body of Christ, the difference is he could enter in a room just like that. Our body will be very similar. We can travel several trillion miles in a few, in a second time. That will be our body, very similar to the Lord Jesus Christ. We will never be Christ. We will never be gods, but we will be changed in a such a way that we can do things that normally cannot do. Such a bit of transformation that will take place in the bodies of believers, both living and the dead, in the time when the Lord returns. Our present body is not suitable for the kingdom of God. We are not going to go into a kingdom of God with this body. It will not go, first of all. It is not suitable. A mystery is a truth previously known, I said this already, but now made known to us. All believers will not experience sleep, if I can use that word. If the Lord comes tonight, you and I will be still alive, possibly, but we will also be changed. The last trumpet here does not mean it's the end of the world. People interpret that, oh, that's the last trumpet, I mean, the world is ending. No, the world isn't ending. Actually, the world is just about to begin living. You know, when you look at the fall, in the next events, it is not the end of the world. It refers to the trumpet of God. It simply means there will not be another trumpet like this, which will bring the dead from the living and take the Lord's people with him. That will be the last trumpet that is for the church. That's what it means when he says last trumpet. There are trumpets you can read through the book of Revelation. Many trumpets are there. But the trumpet that Paul is referring here is the trumpet blowing for the resurrection of believers. And that will be the last one, and there will not be another one. There will be other resurrections in the future. That's another subject to consider sometime later. But this last trumpet simply means this will be one for believers. And everyone shall change. John, I referred to this earlier. 1 John chapter 3, verse 2 says, we shall be like him. Do I understand this? I don't. I don't know how that can be true. How can I be like my Lord Jesus in every aspect except the divine authority and power and Godhead he has? When the death shall come, here is another question somebody asked. Okay, you say the resurrection of the body will happen. How about the people who died and went into the ocean? The fish ate them. Bones are scattered throughout the ocean. What do you think you're talking about resurrection? What does the scripture say? Earth and the sea will give up the bodies of believers at the trumpet in the splinking of an eye. Either they are, even if they are decomposed, eaten by fish and spread across the ocean, all the atoms of the body will come together at the twinkling of an eye, at the voice of the Creator. It will come together, come and they will resurrect. How about people who are burned? Bodies are burned even today in many places. They become ashes. The ash will come together, give the birth of the body. And the life will come because he is the creator, is the calling. Therefore, he'll come, they will come. Well, I have maybe 2-3 minutes, I'll finish here. I'll close early. The third passage, most important passage also, is 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13 to 18. Let me read that. Listen very carefully. But I do not want you to be ignorant. Now, my very purpose of this message morning is this. I don't want any one of you to be ignorant what is going to happen next. Oh, I think this man said, that man said, it may have happened, may not happen. No, I want you to be very assured that what Paul says is, I don't want any believers, any Christian to be ignorant of what is yet to happen. Concerning those who have fallen asleep, lest you sorrow as others who have not hope. We sorrow, we cry, we make noises because we have sometimes lose our faith. He says, you should know, always look forward to the hope of eternity. If we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus. The assurance that you and I will resurrect or change is the fact that the Lord Jesus Christ rose again. If you believe that, then you can believe that you will also rise. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord. You know, throughout the scripture there is a statement called, thus says the Lord. That put overemphasis to what he is about to say. Thus says the Lord is the same, almost the same meaning. For this I say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. For the Lord himself descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel. We read that a similar passage earlier. And with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise. They didn't say may rise, in my book at least. They will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we shall always be with the Lord. We'll come to the last statement before I close. Brothers, we have an eternity, an eternal hope coming on our way. Think about it when you live on this earth. Don't be disheartened. Don't be painful all the time. Don't just think that I have no hope. If you are a believer, you do have a hope. Hope of eternity in the presence of God, being just like him and in the very presence of our Savior for eternity. If you remember my first, second picture, the time will come to an end. We will merge into the eternity and so shall be with the Lord forever. Therefore, Paul says, thus we shall be always with the Lord, not for a short time, throughout the coming eternity, we will be with him. What will we do there? There may be a study we can do on that sometime. What are we going to do? Eternity. We have a lot of things to do. But therefore, Paul says, comfort one another with these words. If this cannot comfort you, brothers and sisters, there is fundamentally something wrong with you. Or me, I should say. If I cannot comfort myself and know about the coming of Christ and comfort other people, then there has to be something wrong with me. Therefore, Paul says, comfort one another. We will not go any further. There are any observations on this passage. There are many things that we can look together and study. Comfort one another. Don't be disheartened. Don't be ignorant. Comfort one another. Our God, our Father, we come to you this morning once again. What an eternal hope. We truly don't understand because our mind is so limited. But your time, your plan, your purpose, your words, what you said to us in John, all that will happen. Help each one of us as we wish, as we are approaching the close of this year, that we may have that eternal hope, that we may live according to in the light of eternity, that our life that we spend here on this earth may not be simply wasted for the things of this perishing world, that we may live for you and your glory and for your blessing of other people. Each one of us, use me, use every one of us. We pray for all of us in this room and perhaps some who are online at this time. Bless their hearts, we pray. And may live for your glory. All these problems, Lord, we know is going to come to an end. You truly can't wait for that day. But we know that you are coming. Prepare our hearts daily as we live on this earth. Give you glory and honor. Pray this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.